All right, James chapter 5. We are going to get into some things about thanks, and I know it's Thanksgiving this week, and all this. We are going to head there, but we're going to finish our series on James chapter 5, and I thought about waiting. That's fine, but there's some things in chapter 5 and finishing up James that kind of go that direction that we can kind of get a base into talking about some thanks and those things. So in James, let me get here, James chapter 5, and I'm just going to mention from last week a couple things in chapter 4. It just mentioned about some in the last couple chapters, mentioned about a couple different people and how we're to get along and go along with people or not judge people or things. And it specifically mentioned about people with wealth or, you know, someone dressed up, someone's not dressed so nice, and, you know, how just kind of on the surface and the flesh, how we look at things. And some of that was hit on. And now it specifically is talking about they must have some rich people in the church. And so as we go, I'm going to read through chapter 5 quick. I'm just going to make a couple comments that lead into kind of where we otherwise want to go. So as we read James chapter 5 and verse 1, as go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your misery that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rest of them shall be a witness against you. You shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You shall have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and have been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receiveth the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brother, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. And so we have a couple things going on here as we finish up James. Remember from chapter 1, there was much talked about a big emphasis on patience and having to do with dealing with people, and that's mentioned here over and over a few times here. But I want to skip it. It mentions the rich people here, the wealthy, and notice the sin is not wealth in the Bible. God is okay with wealth, and God's not against wealth, and there's nothing wrong with someone being successful in that regard. But he's talking about their attitude. Sometimes people look at their wealth as a sense of pride or something they accomplish and all that. And that's kind of what's going on here. And he's talking about how people act and fit. I want to go down to verse 8. So he mentioned in verse 7 about being patient again. And that's in verse 8, be ye also patient. That patience we talked about in chapter 1. Patience is a big deal that can affect a lot of things in our life. So notice it said, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And look in Philippians 4, 8, we've gone to this passage many times as we look. Of course, 7 talks about, let's back up to 6, I may mention again later, but be careful for nothing. Philippians 4, 6, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious, don't worry, don't be overcautious and that idea of worry is a broad idea here. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, we've used over the last several months, used these next verses several times, but I want to focus back on how they connect together. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So notice that we see at verse 7, we've used often about the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But notice that verse starts out with an and. What goes before that? We go to verse 7 and then 8 often. But verse 7 starts out, and the peace. In other words, there's something else to this thing. There's something else going on in this scenario to get God's peace and God keeping your heart and mind. And verse 6, be careful for nothing. And in other words, don't be over cautious about ever trying to figure everything out, worry about everything and what's going on. Be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That idea of thanksgiving is key all the way through Scripture. One of these days I might do a real inclusive study on the idea of thanks and thanksgiving. It's amazing the places it shows up. It's not just a matter of thanksgiving or thanks or something along that line. It's mentioned often in the Bible. It's a matter of it's a neat study to go see where the places fit, where the locations of those words are, and how it fits together. We're going to mention a verse in a little while. I may be doing a study. I don't know what God has for here, but I'm helping that church over in Wisconsin a little bit on Wednesday nights and teach over there. And I'm thinking about bringing up and doing a little bit of just a brief study and explaining what the peace offering was and in the Old Testament and how that had to do with their thanksgiving. And it's an amazing thing if you study that in Leviticus. But it's thankful by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. People in the Bible, if you study their prayers and them asking God for things and God giving them what they wanted within the idea of need, we saw that in James 4 last week. If you ask amiss, that it's about your lust, that's God's not answering those kind of things. If it's just about you and your lust and you know, hey, I want this new thing just to show off to everybody how important I am. You know, that kind of stuff was going on here in James. So if that's it, but if it's something neat or helpful or a burden or desire or something I have, you follow that trend through prayer throughout Scripture, and you find thanksgiving in that almost every single time. And so in James 5:8, as we establish our hearts and we ground ourselves and get ourselves grounded in and just get established with God, That process includes thanksgiving. And back to James. And then verse 8 has to be patient. That's that patience again. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Verse 9, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. And I'm not going to elaborate a whole lot on here, other than if you keep reading, talking about the attitude with others, and then down in verse 16, confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Sometimes you'll hear preachers preach, and I've heard this often, and they like the last part of that verse, and it's still good. It still works. But the idea here is how we treat and think about and work with others. And in verse 9, you said, grudge not one against another. Now, the word there has to do with pitting, you know, other people against people, probably includes gossip and that idea. But the grudge itself is different. It starts out with an attitude of discontentment, but sometimes a discontentment of looking at what other people have. In other words, someone else enjoys something or has an advantage, and we get upset because they got blessed somewhere. And grudge includes that. To envy the possessions or happiness which we desire of ourselves. So as we grudge to give or take unwillingly, has a grudge that we take, has to do with murmur, complaining, to be envious, to wish for in secret, to I'm willing to, all these things that have to do with grudge, really being a grudging something, I believe, and based on other scripture, has to do with not just being discontent, But it has to do with unforgiveness also. Sometimes I may do a study. I've looked at a little bit for my own sake. I'm nowhere ready to teach or preach on the topic as a whole yet. But we'll see where God does, or if. I have no plans at this moment. But that study some forgiveness throughout the Bible. And most every time when you come across forgiveness, it has to do with the person doing the forgiving, more than the one that needs forgiveness. And no matter what it is, but we come down to verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. So forgiveness is a part of our own healing and, of course, praying for one another. If you remember Job and all his tragedy, everything that went on with Job and those friends that came along, and sometimes we criticize. I mean, they didn't give him real good advice. they didn't do good for Job, but They were real friends. And what I mean is, if you back up to the first part of Job, when all the tragedy happened, everything he owned was wiped out. His kid, his family was killed. His wife was having a hard time dealing with it, and came on. And then his friends came, and if I remember right, they came and just sat with him for like 7 days. Now, when you read the whole book of Job and see their conversation, they weren't real helpful. I mean, they said some dumb stuff and weren't encouraging Job a whole lot. Tried to put it at almost blame him for some things. And so it was not good conversation. But then they were good friends. They just were ignorant of things of God, maybe, or trying or struggling. Hey, you know, we're all human. And to give them that part of the benefit of the doubt. But, man, somebody that come in your mourning and hurting and just sit with you for days. That's still a real friend. But at the end of the book, when you find all his trouble, Job turned, and when God blessed him again, that blessing came after. It said Job prayed for his friends. So that prayer and thanksgiving for what we do have, as it comes into not grudging and looking and trying to figure out what everyone else in the world has that we think we don't have. Be thankful to God for what we do have and what God did. Most of all, I'm going to be in heaven one day, living forever with God. The stuff here doesn't matter anyway. And as we look, but our attitude toward forgiveness and caring, and get our heart established in the things of God, and and get that solidified. So what is Thanksgiving? Now Thursday we get together and family, we think about in America, some of our holiday and people coming to America, and Chad, there's some specific historic details, and then it was reinstitution as a formal holiday after the Civil War and trying to bring the country together. So there's some things there in our history in America that are very specific to what we look at Thanksgiving. But the attitude in general is about God. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 22. Leviticus chapter 22. And then we got several scripture we're going to go on. We won't be too long today, but there's some very specific. I just want to give one specific thought here. It's looking at Thanksgiving and where it goes. I said I'm not preaching on it. I am working. And when I go to that other church on Wednesday, I might thinking about developing it more. But this is off of the thought in the Old Testament. One of the many sacrifices or offerings that the children of Israel gave, the Israelites gave and took to the, with the priest, was called a peace offering. And there were others, some were called thanks. There were many offerings. Sometimes we think of, they killed an animal for their sins, and we got all caught up with the sin part of it. And there were many offerings they gave to God. And one of this is mentioned here in Leviticus chapter 22 and verse 29. And when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. And there's a lot to that, but I just want to point that out. It's a sacrifice. I'm going to come back to that. I'm not going to elaborate on that right now. It's a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord. But notice that last line there. It says, offer it at your own will. That sums up what Thanksgiving is in dealing with God. Is we look at the law sometimes and think, well, they had to do it. And I've heard people twist it into salvation stuff and all kinds of things in there. But many of the offerings they gave were about this attitude and their relationship with God. And as Thanksgiving was one of them. It was their own will. And I'm going to circle back to a thought as we look at a couple other verses. Real quick, let's go to Psalms 26. Psalm chapter 26. Well, 26 and verse 7. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Of course, talking about what God did for him, and that idea or thought comes up many psalms. Over and over again, and it might be worded different, but that idea. But notice that publish or talk about or tell everyone or get it out there with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Psalm 69. Psalm 69 and verse 30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. And so it has the idea of thanksgiving. I picked this, I looked at this for, I just did a few verses around the term thanksgiving. One, because it fit into where we were. And James and the word, and there's it, man, thanks or thank you or thank. I mean, there's variations of the word, and not the point, but I like the word thanksgiving. I mean, it has a tone of more about giving the thanks than other words. In other words, if you do something with thanks, it's like, you're thankful, you're grateful, but man, thanksgiving is a difference of it's almost like I'm giving back with my thanking. And it had to do with that different tone. So Psalm 95, a couple of psalms that I'm going to elaborate back to that thought that we already mentioned from Leviticus. Psalm 95, a couple more here in Psalms. 95 and verse 2. Psalm 95, 2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. know, it refers to singing and all this, but I said, if we're going to come into his presence, we need to come to God with thanksgiving. Psalms 100 and verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And notice why, for, when you have a term like that, so it says, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth all generations. So it says we're praying, we're entering into his gates with thanksgiving, and just remember, because God is good. Psalms 116, we're going to connect back to the thought here from Leviticus. Psalms 116. And verse 17, referring to that sacrifice mentioned in Leviticus, in Psalm 116, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. So it had to do with prayers. We already saw that if I need something from God, I need to get God's attention, you do that by thanksgiving. In this age, in this time, they gave a sacrifice. And they sacrificed an animal or something for thanksgiving. And they gave it to God in thanks. And then they could pray and ask God for what they need. Also over in Amos, if... In the book of Amos in chapter 4... See a thought before I elaborate. There are a couple more verses to tie this thought in. Amos chapter 4 and verse 5. Amos 4 and verse 5. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offering. For this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. And so giving that sacrifice of thanksgiving was a way for them to show everybody or show the world how thankful they were for what God did. It's amazing. If you go through history, especially in the land where people lived and the Israelites lived in the Old Testament, and you look at the surrounding nations that God looked, you'll find often that there were pagan lands, and God often, that's why there's so many commands against idols and against the false gods and how to worship God. The Old Testament emphasis to Israel was about God. And God is, you know, somebody, it's not God being selfish, it's God showing, hey, I'm the only real God. I'm it. Here's how you worship me, to show the world that I'm real and you worship the real God. That's where a lot of this. Now, this is a free will. We saw in Leviticus. But it said it shows a way to publish and proclaim to the world that, hey, I give thanks to my God. You don't find pagan religion giving thanks to their God. They're trying to appease a God. They're trying to give up something and hope their God doesn't punish them. Maybe, you know, if they believe in the superstition side, that if they do enough and give enough and worship their fake idols enough, that maybe it'll appease, maybe they'll have some good crops. And when it's God that gave the rain to help them with the crops. You know, it's like, it's a Peter, but you don't find in the pagan religion worshiping false gods, giving thanks to their God. And it's something that we can thank God just because he's God. And I'll show a place where it matters. In Jonah, when... See here in Jonah chapter 2, Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9, this is while Jonah was in the whale, when Jonah was swallowed by the whale, he's in the whale now. And remember, he there basically as a punishment, God trying to get his attention. He didn't obey God. He tried to run away. God brought the storm. God ended up getting him in the ocean. God sent a whale to swallow him. Now, and we know from the rest of the story, because we have history, we have the Bible to look back on, we know from the rest of the story that as Jonah sat and under the gourd and watched and still wanted God to destroy the city, that Jonah was not really, never got his heart right with God. God used him, but his attitude was still messed up. I mean, yeah, he obeyed God. He went to the city to preach, but it was short. He even went, if you read it right, I know when I was in Sunday school, heard it taught wrong, like in a hurry, but he got to that city, and it said he went into the city that was such a massive city, he hung out in that city for an entire day before he even started preaching. And so he was in no hurry. He obeyed God because of being in the whale, but his heart never really got adjusted. His heart never really got into the same page as God on this thing. But right now he's in the whale. Right now his life, he's scared for his life. He knows he disobeyed God. He knows as he's trying to, so he's praying here now as he talked about the waters come past about me in verse 5. The weeds wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains and the earth, to talk about being underwater. Brought my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainteth within me, I remembered the Lord. When he set his body, he had nowhere else to go. He finally remembered God, who he was running of. He never really forgot God. He was just running from God. And my prayer came in on me, into that holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Notice verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And notice the next verse. The Lord spake unto the fish and had vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. So even Jonah, who is running from God, who is in a sense disobeying God, we kind of went his own way, just got stuck. Okay, God, you got my attention. But notice, to get God's attention, he said, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. He was in the belly of the whale. He couldn't go to the temple and go to the priest and actually give a physical sacrifice here. He couldn't kill an animal. They couldn't put it on an altar. They couldn't. He said, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. In other words, I can verbalize, I can show my thanks, as we saw in Psalms a while ago about publishing the thanksgiving of to God. He said, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. And in other words, if we need to just talk about it, we need to thank God, we need to be thankful, but we need to show it. As we saw back in Leviticus, just so I read it right, I'm going to flip back there quick. In Leviticus 22:29, where we were a minute ago, and when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, you know, it does say sacrifice, but this is talking about the formal sacrifice in the temple. But when we offer a sacrifice, so something has to be given to God. If it's a sacrifice, means I'm giving something up. And in this case, was formal and an animal, something. I mean, it was an actual sacrifice. But then it says, offer it at your own will. Doesn't do much good. It's not really thankful if you're forced to do it. It's not thanksgiving. You're not giving thanks if you're forced. God put this away to show, because he gave a testimony. It also helps a person doing it. And as we saw back in Jonah, as Jonah was talking to God, he said, I'll give the sacrifice with my voice. I'll go out of my way to tell it and show my thanks. And after that, in verse 10, it said, God granted, God told the whale to go spit him out on the land. And let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse 11, For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. And we're talking about the sower and the minister, we're talking about things, you back up and can read that, and that's referring to God and answering prayers. But in verse 11 here, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. So God wants to bless us, so we thank God, but God says in order for to be blessed, you need to thank God. And that's why the song talked about, we're thanking God because God's good. And so the administration, verse 12 of 2 Corinthians 9, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. So God's blessing, especially in abundance, has to do with our thanks or our thankful attitude as we look at what God's done for us, mostly a salvation, but God supplying and helping us and being there, giving us peace and strength, as we saw in Philippians 4, that we can have that peace of God and God work in our heart and have something to thank God for. As it said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And when we go to God and we want that peace that verse 7 here talks about in Philippians 4, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So God wants to keep our heart and our mind and that stability that we have as a Christian, but it comes partly from, yeah, there's obedience, there's other, verse 8 tells us what to think, so there's a little more to it, but overall, but it says that when we pray and come to God by prayer and supplication, but it says with thanksgiving to let your requests be made known unto God. Book of Colossians chapter 4. About a relationship, a master-servant or an employer-employee in verse 1. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 1 says, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So a master in heaven, obviously referring to God. Continue in prayer and watch in the same. The same would be prayer. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. And he goes in to talk about that in prayer. But he said, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So thanksgiving is not just isolated to God doing something good for us. Here he's talking about a master, an employee, employer relationship, a business. I'm taking care of other people. I need to pray with thanksgiving. I'm praying for someone else. In this case, Paul asked his church to pray for them and their ministry. He said, pray for me that I can still preach the gospel and be bold and give the gospel and speak. He said, pray with thanksgiving. And thanking God goes in every area of our life. And as we look at this old world and surrounded with sin and wickedness in this world, that we need to take and that we need to understand that, what I'm looking for, 1 Thessalonians, that we need to take and understand this old world, even surrounded in sin, that we have a God in heaven that said we're his children, we're going to live with him forever. God is the creator of the universe, is my father, and not just, oh, it's my father, like some false religion. Well, we're just all God's children, so everything's okay. It's like that's not what the Bible says. I wasn't God's child until I received Christ and became a child of God through adoption because of my salvation. So not only I'm a child of God, that doesn't make me in the flesh anyway in this world better than another person, but what it does in my relationship with God, our thanksgiving start at salvation, because I was on my way to hell as a sinner, and when I accepted Christ, I became adopted, and when God adopted me into his family, it's because he loved me and chose me, with the condition of my belief, of course, but when I believe and accepted that gift, God just said, here it is. It's salvation is automatic. I have to receive it. But when I received it, God said, yes, I want you. And that we our thanksgiving needs to start in our salvation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, there's a ton of stuff in here in this chapter. I'm looking, we'll give you a second to turn, but I'm glancing. Verse 14, warn them, but comfort. People, be patient toward all men. There's that patience again. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. That would go along with patience, but also with forgiveness, even though forgiveness is not specifically mentioned here. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing, verse 18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That doesn't say necessarily every circumstance in our life we're thankful for. That's not what it says. But in life, throughout life, and in everything, while we're in it, we can still give thanks to God because of who God is. But notice, where the theme is what you rejoice evermore. But verse 17, pray without ceasing. Then it says, in everything give thanks. So thanksgiving is still connected with our prayers. And we want to see God work in our life. We want to see God do things for us and with us and see what's happening in the world. And we look around and we have needs and we got things we want to go to God with and try to bring our burdens to God. And God watches the land, just as we saw in James chapter 4. Many things, they said they weren't getting their prayers answered because they asked amiss, but it specifically said they asked amiss because they wanted to consume it upon their own lusts. In other words, they were asking for God for things just because, oh, I wanted it. I don't know if I mentioned here last week, or if it was over in Wisconsin, I heard a while back, some time ago now, someone contacted me about a ministry and looking, and I wasn't sure. I wanted to check some things out. I do like what we're trying to accomplish, so I looked at the head guy, the guy that contacted me, and I found one of his sermons on the internet, and I listened just to kind of see where he's coming from and doctrine and his style and what he was saying, all that stuff. And one of the things he said, he went on his own rant for several minutes, basically said that he was talking to some young people and said, well, God wants you to have the nicest designer clothes, and God wants you to have the newest iPhone, and God wants you to have this, and God, because having all that is going to show that God's good and other people are going to get saved because you have all these things. Like, that's not how it works. that's not Bible at all. God's not against you having things if you can afford it and have it and want all that stuff. God's not against those things. That's not it. But certainly, just because I have something nicer than somebody else, that's not going to share the gospel. That's not how that works. And that was his whole thing on that's not what this thing's about. Contentment is thank God for what I do have. Mostly in the sense of understanding. Now, that doesn't mean we should take a vow of poverty or anything, but we just thank God for what we do have. But mostly, it's in the attitude or spiritual sense of I have salvation. I'm going to heaven. Doesn't matter what's going on here in this world. Someday I'll be in heaven forever. This whole world will be gone, and I'll live with God forever in heaven. I'll have that. I have God's peace that passes all understanding. I can have that, be thankful for. I can have it. And all the things that we do have that are good things. In everything give thanks. We might face a tragedy in our life one day. We might have hardships in our life. We might have whatever's going on in this crazy world with full of sin. But in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. When we look at thanking God, remember two things. One is God's good. We need to thank God no matter what. In everything, give thanks. Along with that, notice how many times in the few verses that we looked at about giving thanks and just the few things we saw, notice how many times that thanksgiving is directly connected with our prayer. We want something from God. And by the way, I know most of everything in here is talking about our relationship with God, and that's the intent of these scriptures that we looked at. But by the way, just as a matter of practice, it works for people too. And our gratitude goes a long way in working relationships with other people. But note it, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. As we go into this week, I know we think about Thanksgiving as a holiday, but don't forget about our Thanksgiving as it relates to our relationship with God. We want to pray and thank God for things, so not so we can get things, but to get God's attention so we can talk to him so he'll hear us and work. And in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. With that, let's stand together. And we'll close and just carry this thought as we go into this holiday week. It seems the world just goes nuts with this stuff. One of the reasons that I don't like Christmas music and all the decorations with Christmas until after Thanksgiving is the commercialism, in a sense. People seem like they just forgot about thanking for anyone. They just, everything's about the shine. There's nothing wrong with that stuff, but it just, it seems like we've forgotten it. We want to skip it now. We start seeing Christmas decorations for sale in October. And where's the Thanksgiving? Where's the attitude of giving thanks in that? And they can't wait for Thanksgiving to over to go on Friday to go shopping. And it's just more of an attitude of we've lost something in this country having to do with this Thanksgiving. But it starts individually with our heart with God, and that's where it's most important. And so this week, let's think about, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God, I thank you for this day. God, I thank you for this the wonderful weather we've had, that we can come to service and gather around your word and learn from you. God, I thank you for everything you've done, most of all for sending your son to die so that we could have eternal life. God, I thank you that we have a direction on how to talk and communicate with you and what you want for us. And God, I pray that you'll help us as we go this week, and that will keep you in thanks and show the world that we do have things to be thankful for because of being your children. God, I pray that you'll help us, God, and give us strength and give us courage, give us boldness. And as we go serve you this week, in Jesus' name, amen.